Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Federation. Joining us today is Monica Shuda, a wonderful advocate for life. Welcome, Monica.
Hello, how are you, everybody?
Very good, thank you. Thank you for being on the program today.
Nice to be here.
Now, Monica, tell us, what is the abortion situation like in communist countries?
I would like to start about generally about Europe, first
sure.
of all. It's, in Europe, in the last 50 years, the whole of Europe, I would say it's in the grip of the same thing. It's a culture of death, same as the United States. So it's more than a half a century. We know that in the United States it's been 50 years also. But I would say that many countries in Europe with a total fertility rate, it's frightening, because in 1965 it was 2.37, and in 2014 it went down to 1.33. So, and the worst is being Bosnia and Herzegovina, in former Yugoslavia, where the birth rate, the TFR, it's 0.99. So that means one child born per family, which is less than China. And that is to ponder about, right? To think about. Wow. Well, when I'm talking about communist countries and abortion, the first country in the world was the Soviet Union, where the abortion was first allowed, and it was 1920, but it was banned in 1933 because of the decreasing birth rate. So they were thinking about it those days too, that less people is born, and so they kind of stopped it. But Khrushchev in 1955 liberalized abortion restrictions, so it started again. Many countries in Europe, like Poland, Czechoslovakia, the abortion was allowed between the years 1956 and 1959, 1957. And they were saying that it's allowed because of to preserve mother's health and save her life, or other medical reasons, or economical, you know? So.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's communist countries and communism. They support abortion on request, because I think generally communism, it doesn't have a respect for life, you know, mm-hmm. not respect for its citizens, and nor life of a baby. So and of course they don't have a faith in God, which is the main reason that we support life, because God is life, you know. That's why.
Now, how does the situation in the communist countries compare with the status of abortion in the United States?
Well, abortion in the United States, as I found out, was only illegal, so was criminalized in between 1860 and 1880. After that, it's got a little, like I would say, there was abortions. People didn't do it those days, like 100, 120 years ago, because I think more people had a faith in God, and they knew that it's a murder, and they didn't want to. But it's slowly, with new modernization, with new ideas people have, and also how the people stop believing God, and all in the Ten Commandments, like don't kill is one commandment. So they the abortion and start to come more, you know, to the forward, that people be they would do that, you know. And when in 1973 Roe versus Wade was in the Supreme Court, and they approved abortion It was all similar, like in communist countries, like the disrespect to life started, and more abortion came about every day. Millions of children were killed in those 50 years, you know, and thank God that all stopped last year, 2023. We prayed hard for that, and but it was, I think, with the liberalism we have now, and with it seems like communistic tendencies to me, with the you know abortion and that disrespect to life and anything goes, you know, that's not right. I don't think that's, you know.
Now, the abortion industry talks about abortion being a woman's choice, but to what extent is forced abortion a problem?
And again, I looked up how many percent of abortions are coerced on in the United States. And I saw the number and I was like horrified. It says like 70% it's coerced. So and it comes from the family members, from the loved ones. They're supposed to be your loved ones. And they're the ones who push you to do it for whatever reason. And I believe many of those women in the abortion mills, they don't want to be there, but they feel lost. You know, they have no support. And that's why they go there. And then, you know, that's where the forgiveness have to come in. You know, you have to forgive them because many of them, they really don't want to do it.
You know? Yeah, so it's not their choice. It's somebody else's choice that they are forced to live out.
Somebody else's choice. And they would maybe not choose that, but because the close people close to them, tell them to do it, they will, because they're afraid they will lose the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Now, what is the impact of abortion upon minorities?
Wow. Yeah, that's another scary thing. It's like 5 times more African-American women and probably Hispanic, you know, women of color have went through the abortion. Then white ladies, white women, you know, and that's really sad because that's to me sounds like the Hitler, you know, when he was killing gypsies, was killing Jewish people. It's like genocide to me of, you know, colored people too. And because their economic situation too, African-American ladies might be, you know, pushed into abortions because of their economic situation. They cannot afford to have more children. And again, their loved ones are not standing behind them and supporting them. So.
Now, what led you to participate in rallies and marches against abortion?
To number one, to protect the sanctity of life, because like I said, Ten Commandments of don't kill. And number two, it was my own experience. I had to go through abortion and I was coerced to it, you know, by my loved one. And it wasn't really it was a horrifying experience, I would say. But thank God I could, you know, as a Catholic, go to confession and make peace with God and with my own conscience in my soul. So, and that's what I would, you know, recommend. I want everybody who went through this experience to have the same opportunity as me, that go to confession and make peace with God and themselves. You know, that's why I went to the marches with my children even, and to show them that we have to have a respect for God, for his law, for life, you know, and show example to my children.
So you found healing and hope following your experience with abortion, and you want to share that healing and hope with other people in the hopes that they will experience the same level of forgiveness and comfort that you have experienced.
Exactly. And when we went to those marches or to abortion mills to pray for the girls and women who go in, I would like to talk to them about my experience, you know, I and pray for them and give them strength and tell them you can do it. You know, there is lots of help out there that you can use.
Definitely. And what can the average person do to help pregnant women in challenging circumstances?
Well, there is pregnancy centers. We can help financially with diapers, clothes for babies, you know, with prayers, with, you know, talk about, let people know about this situation and about what they can do to help mothers and life. I think that's all that there is many people who help ladies like this in, who find themselves in the situation that they are pregnant and they considering the abortion. But there is also many, many opportunities to get help. Pregnancy center, not just only that, but good people.
Yeah, definitely good people. Often in churches, people don't realize that there can be help in churches for pregnant women.
Yes, they do have a, it's called drives or whatever they, when they, you know, collect the food, collect the baby clothes, baby bottles. They also have, the churches have these programs, right? The baby bottles, you can drop money there and they will, you know, give it to the pregnancy centers and they help the people there, the ladies and their children. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher. Today we are talking with Advocate for Life, Monica Chuda. And Monica, what do you think is the best argument against abortion?
I heard that they say that this world is overpopulated and all the wars and abortion is for a reason to just bring the population down, but that's not what I think it is. I mean, my personal opinion, how many children God sends into the world, gives them life, so many can live in this world, you know? I don't believe that argument. Also, I don't believe in argument like my body, my choice, because that's not really our choice. If God, he decides who he gonna, you know, send to live in this earth or not, it's not us. And so that's what I, this liberal agenda that everything goes and abortion is okay and world is overpopulated, and I don't believe that. And I don't think the people who really think, you know, with healthy mind can say that that's true, you know.
Yeah, and you talked about the slogan, my body, my choice, and what people don't recognize is the fact that there is a separate, distinct body from the mother, and that's the body of the child. And that child may have separate DNA from the mother. It may be a different sex from the mother. So we have to love them both, in essence.
Exactly. We have to love them both. And that's the theme, love. Oh, God is love, and we should love each other. We should love God, first of all, and then love each other. And if we would do that, if we would live by this belief, there would never be abortion, because we couldn't imagine that we could, you know, take somebody's life. What if that somebody who died in abortion would be a new pope, I mean, new president who make changes for people, or a writer, you know, who brings, or painter who will paint, you know, beautiful pictures, or, you know, that's, yeah, we could never decide instead of God who should, who could live or not, who should live or not. We shouldn't, you know. So.
Beautifully said. And what advice would you have for someone interested in participating in rallies and marches against abortion?
Oh yeah, I would say participate. Like me and my children, we went to the Washington, D.C. for the main pro-life march in January, couple years we went. It was fantastic. It was, you could see the strength was coming out of people. You know what I mean? Like the whole crowd, it was like a million people. It was something fantastic. You know, I felt empowered and that now I'm not alone who thinks this way. You know, to be in a pro-life, and especially young people, it's their future. You know, their future we're talking about. Their friends, their family members, who wouldn't be here if they would be aborted, you know? So I would say go and, you know, try out and do something for next generations, you know?
Absolutely. And I think many people would be surprised at the number of young people who attend the March for Life. It's predominantly young people.
Yep, I think last decade, I would say, it's a lot of young people in the crowd. Yes, you're right. And I was happy about it, you know,
Yes.
just because, like I said, they're the future. And if they could change it, they could change it all, you know. When last year, Roe versus Wade was stopped by Supreme Court, there wasn't like yet complete victory. We still have lots to go, you know. We have to lots to do towards to bring complete stop to abortion, or as much we can, you know. I hope and pray that in the future there would not be a millions of children killed. And I think in the really future, when they see and they will read and they will find out that we had abortion in these days, they'd be horrified, like, wow, you know. What did they do? They killed their own kind, kind of. No, that's so. I hope and pray for better future without abortion.
A lot of times we hear nowadays about reproductive freedom in relation to abortion. People say that we should have abortion because of the need for reproductive freedom. But I think that abortion is a sign that we don't have freedom a lot of times because the abortions are coerced or forced upon the women. It's also not the freedom of the child to be born. So the whole concept of reproductive freedom, it just doesn't make sense.
No, and it doesn't make sense to me because, like I said, going back to the first question and communism and that's when I came here from Czechoslovakia 30 years ago. I was sure that you guys don't have any abortion and stuff like that because I thought it's a Christian country. But I was really surprised in a bad way that there was abortion in here. And like you said, it's no freedom. Freedom for me, it's to have a child, to show that love, you know, that's a freedom. Abortion, it's sign of communism and liberalism. And liberalism is like hidden communism to me, when they, you know, condone the abortion. It's same. So
What would you say to a woman who is considering abortion?
I would say don't do it. You know, child will bring you happiness. Child will bring you new experiences. It will enrich your life, you know, and you won't have a bad conscience. And because every woman, I'm pretty sure, when they, you know, have abortion, their heart must hurt, you know, it must.
Yes.
And I wish for every woman to be happy with their children. And, you know, and we also, whoever had abortion, have forgiveness for them, you know, and we love them still. And because God does, you know, God still love them and forgive them. So.
Roe versus Wade was overturned 2 years ago with the Dobbs decision. And in that time, we have seen a lot of state-by-state fights. What have you been seeing in terms of the pro-life movement from where you live?
Yes, when that decision came about, there was many people protesting in downtown for abortion. Like the thing turned. Before we were protesting against, and now they were protesting for. And that was sad for me. You know, I was sad for that. I was like, oh no, oh, I hope they don't bring it back, because that would be disastrous. You know, I think we are on the good road to stop abortion and, you know, to give a chance for life for everybody, all those children. So that's what I saw around. We were happy, and my friends who are in the pro-life movement were very happy, but they never stopped their prayers. We still have to pray, because we are not done yet. You know, it's not over.
Yeah, definitely not over. And what advice would you have for somebody who is thinking about joining the pro-life movement but is uncertain about what it's like?
If you think you would like to join, just join. It's not scary. Yeah, you have friends there, you have support, you know, and I think when your heart is telling you to do it, you could try. You know, you should try. Or maybe God is, you know, wanting you to go to that, down that path. So
yes. So we're hearing the dog barking behind you, but that's okay. That's a sign of life as well. So tell me, when you first heard the news that Roe versus Wade was overturned, do you remember where you were and what you were doing when you heard that news?
I think I was sitting home in my living room watching TV, and I just saw it, and I was like, wow, that's really cool. I was happy for that, and I thank God. I was like, finally, 50 years, it was a long time for it to come, you know?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, but I was happy. I talked to my friends, to the ladies from the movement, to this one old lady, she's like in her 90s. But she's still doing it, doing it, and go out and, you know, and prays a lot for ladies who are in this, you know, predicament that they have, they're forced to have an abortion, or even when they go there by themselves to just open up, you know, just Holy Spirit enlighten their mind, you know, and God come to their heart and just, you know, reconsider. So I was happy, and all of my friends were very happy about it. When we heard it first, yeah.
That's terrific. And we see where, unfortunately, even with the overturn of Roe versus Wade, there are still a lot of abortions which take place in our states, in many of our states, and in our nation. And I'm wondering, do you think that people would be surprised to find out that there are 1 million abortions which take place in a given year in the United States?
Yep, I think so. I don't think anybody think about how many, right, it's in millions. I think they just think it's maybe a couple thousand or something, mm-hmm. but oh yes, it's millions, and all over the world is even more. Wow, that's like, I don't know, it's, I'm flabbergasted, like, wow, we killed how many millions of children all over the world over these last years. Even in Catholic countries, like let's say Mexico, they allowed it. You know? That saddens my heart. So,
and a lot of people don't realize how common chemical abortions are nowadays. The abortion pill, it's estimated that as many as 63% of abortions occur because of that abortion pill. Does that worry you at all?
Yes, it does. And there was that debate, and Supreme Court did allow the pill still go on the market. And I was surprised by that. You know, I didn't want it to, you know, happen. But for now, you know, it's happening. And it's, so that's why we have to still pray more and more and more and sacrifice, you know, so those children are not, you know, killed this way to that pill. Yeah, that is not the good news.
No, definitely not. We have about 3 minutes left, and I'm wondering, how can people learn more about you and your work?
I wrote a book, Heavenly Pelican. It's a Catholic book of poetry, and they can find it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Thrift Books, and in my publisher, Christian Faith Publishing, they also sell it. And I also have a webpage, author's webpage on Facebook. It's Monica Chuda, MONICACHUDA, hashtag author. And then I also am on YouTube. I have some videos on YouTube about
Oh,
my book.
nice.
Yes, and the book is about Jesus, about Mary, about God, and God is life. So it's pro-life. So.
And what led you to become an author?
Since I was a child, I dreamt about, and I was writing, you know, I was writing books and poems. And then I had the children, my own four children, and I didn't have too much time to become an author. That's what I was telling myself. But now when they are adults, I said, no, I have to do it. I also had this inside me that I want to write a book, you know, since forever. So
oh,
I did it.
wonderful.
I did it, thank God. And it was with God's help, with Holy Spirit. And my book is out and hope another ones are coming. So.
What do you think you want to write about next?
Okay, my next book is a book of poetry and it's done. It's a sequel or the second part to my first, The Heavenly Pelican. And then I'm going on to the picture book for children. Picture books, Catholic picture books for children. Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm starting at that right now. So hopefully I will finish that one. I don't want to, you know, give away my idea.
No, don't give it away.
It's going to be a children picture book, Catholic children picture book about Eucharist, I would say, too.
Okay, very good.
That's all I'm saying right now.
Well, thank you for joining us on Lifelines Radio today.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the opportunity you gave me to share with people, you know. I know I do have a, have this dream that whole world will be welcoming children. God will send us, and that all people will share this, you know, with me. Oh, that's my dream. So hopefully that will come about this coming years, you know, that people will understand what abortion is. That's an evil thing, and the life is from God, you know, and God is love and life. Oh,
definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.